That's the story, stupid. Well, it has been a month since our last podcast, and I'm sorry. It's been a busy month, had a lot of stuff going on, and frankly, I just could not get around to staying up till 2 a.m. one night to get one of these things recorded. I've actually had notes sitting around for a couple of weeks now, and admittedly, they're fairly slim notes, but first thing I wanted to revisit was, I guess, after the last podcast, there was some stuff that had come down on the Kavya Viswanathon, how Opal made a book, and everybody's still making jokes. There were even contests out there, not anymore, they've actually completed, where you are trying to plagiarize better than she does. But what I haven't figured out is why the publisher, unless they know something that they aren't telling, are not even going to use all of the free press that they're getting from this. I can't imagine that there's no way that they could fix the plagiarized passages, make those things work better, and sell a crap load of books, because any press is good press to almost any degree. But obviously there's some exceptions, but this is ridiculous. You've got a book that's on every major news outlet. You couldn't dream of press this good. Even if it's negative, if you look at James Frey, he was lambasted for everything on all the news outlets, and he still sold a snotload more books after it all came out. And the other thing I wanted to mention about that is I'm really curious, because the packaging company, the novel packaging company that she used to help prepare her manuscript, I was reading some of the articles on it. It sounded very interesting, because her original story was apparently very far off what the final one ended up being. And I think she just doesn't want to admit that the packaging company wrote a lot more of the book than she's let on, because, well, it would hurt her pride, but that also she's made such a stand that this is my book, and then if it really came out how much the packaging people had done, it probably would be hard for her to deal with. But anyway, that's enough on Kavya. I doubt I'll mention her again unless I actually end up finishing reading the book, because I had to return it to the library before I got it finished. Our next topic is the year of writing. On Word Trip, we have been trying to do a year of writing this year, where we're committing to doing 6 writing days a week. Fairly minimal amount, only 335 words. I aim for 350 just because it's more round, and I don't have to do any more math. But basically the goal is to get into the writing habit of getting it done every day. If you're writing that 300, 350 words every day, you're writing basically one page of a novel every day. And at the end of the year, in theory, you should have something saleable. Well, okay, maybe not saleable, but we should have something that's finished or close to it. I, however, on the first couple of months, did not do one set story. I just kept starting new stories every day. And then for the last couple of months now, I've been working on one of two stories. And I ended up taking one story a little too far down one path and realized, hey, you know what? This is almost exactly like El Mariachi or Desperado, the Robert Rodriguez film. Even if there was obvious differences, it was a little too close. And I'd been reading too much about Kavya. Oops, I mentioned her again. To really want to go any further with a story that was going down an already trodden path. So I started over. The crux of my story starts out with a scene that I wrote months, probably a couple of years ago now, that was just 500 or 600 words, and it's set in a little bar in Mexico, Belize, Central America, somewhere in there. And I love the scene, but I have not figured out how to make it into a story, and I'm not even sure there is a story there. And the more I write, the more I'm beginning to think that really I probably should just wrap up the nice, neat little package, have it be a flash fiction, and move on to something else. But on the getting it done every day process, for me, I work second shift. In the mornings, I'm at home with my kids, I play with them, I surf, I do whatever while I'm there in the mornings, because I really don't have the time to commit mentally to focusing on writing in the morning. So what I do is when I get home from work at night, about 11 o'clock at night, everybody's in bed, my wife goes to bed, the kids are in bed, And I can take about 20 minutes to check on the forums, check on the baseball scores, talk trash with X-Check, who's usually online, because she's a Mets fan and I'm a Braves fan, and we're gaining ground, hopefully. And after all of that, it's time to write. I tell X-Check or whoever else I'm chatting with, you know what? Hey, it's time for me to get some writing done. I turn off the chat program, I turn off everything but some instrumental music on iTunes, and I write. And to get that 350 words, it usually only takes me about a half an hour if I'm really focused and really working, but if I've had other things to do and it gets later, I'm tired, it's close to bedtime. And part of the writing process for me, when I'm trying to get it out in a good flow, is that I'm trying to turn off that internal editor. And I've read a book recently, or actually it wasn't recently, it was probably 6 months ago, called From Where You Dream by Robert Olin Butler, I think. I'm not sure on the name. I've got the name of the book here in front of me, but not the author. Silly me. And it's talking about how your creative process comes from that part of your mind where you dream. And I've discovered that one of the problems with what I've been doing is that it's a little too close to where I dream. And if I take a little too long to get the process done, to get my words in for the day, what ends up happening is I doze off. And I'll wake up and the last two sentences will be about an episode of House MD or some other TV show I've watched this week or a movie or who knows what. So they end up being pretty goofy and random. So I'm not sure how to overcome this, because I think it really does help me to be able to shut that internal editor off and get that close to the subconscious state and the subconscious mind to be able to, you know, brings the level of the prose up a little bit anyway. It's not like I'm writing really great, but I feel like I'm at least getting something out when I'm doing that. And I am changing my job in the next month, in the month of June, and my shift will change where I won't be able to stay up that late because I'll be coming in earlier in the morning. So what I'm hoping for is to change and do what more of the writing books recommend, which is to get that dreamlike state near after the time you wake up, as opposed to at right before you go to bed. And hopefully that means that when I get into work early, I can take some time before anybody else shows up in the office, plug away at the laptop, try and get those words in beforehand, and hopefully I'll be able to get that same state just before the brain is fully awakened and before it's really engrossed in all the stuff that's going on in the day, try and tap into that same thing. But I'm really curious to hear how other people do it, if there's any other tricks that you have for getting A, your words done for the day, and getting yourself to that subconscious state where you're able to really tap into the creativity that is necessary to get the writing done. And I'm going to pause here for a little bit. I may bring up the tune in the background, and I'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Just a couple more things. One thing I wanted to talk about is I had an interesting encounter at the bookstore this last week. I was taking my son to pick up a book that he wanted to buy and encountered an author who was there at the borders hawking his wares, as it were. Really nice guy. Name of the book was, hopefully I get this right, is Mission Octagon. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Real nice guy, real interesting sounding book. I bought the book. I probably spent more than I should have on a book from an author I don't know, but I like supporting the guys who are out there working and being out there, putting their face out there. And it did sound like an interesting story. But it's T. Morris from the Survival Guides of Writing Fantasy does an awful lot of talking about conventions and being out there with business cards and postcards and all these things to kind of promote yourself. And this guy was doing a really good job of it. Really great guy. The other thing I want to mention is I know we have several word trippers who have books out or that are coming out. One of which is The Marines in the Garden of Eden by Richard Lowry. He has been talking about it for a while, and it has been in the pipeline for quite a while, but it is finally coming out sometime within the next week. I will put a link to that in the show notes, too. And also, also wanted to mention Mer Lafferty's book, Tricks of the Podcasting Masters, for those who are interested in podcasting. Should be out now, I think. I have an order that should be on its way from Amazon as we speak, or as I speak at any rate. And I think the only other thing is, if anybody else on WordTrip or who's listening to this podcast has a book out there that they would like to get a little extra press, by all means, let me know. I will gladly mention it and link to it. And the one last thing is that I am, in a couple of weeks, heading up to Virginia to participate in the Orson Scott Card Writing class. I'm hoping to do a little podcast while I'm up there with at least other participants, if I'm not suave enough to talk Mr. Card into a little interview, too. And I believe that's it. Except, of course, for if you want to give us show ideas, comments, suggestions, or anything else, please drop me a line at wordtrip@gmail.com, or you can call and leave a voicemail at 678-810-0967, or Skype to the ID WordTrip. And remember, it's the story, stupid.